is that crazy music? This is not regular Catholic Answers music. That must mean it's time for the game show, and I am your game show host, Cy Kellett. Delighted to have you with us. And our super secret celebrity guest is here in studio with us, along with two very fine, well, I don't know, I shouldn't say very fine, until I find out. They're terrible contestants, I don't know. Our super secret celebrity guest, you could tell by that laugh, it's the wild Cajun man himself, Carlo Broussard. Hi, Carlo.
Hey, Cy, how are you, buddy?
I'm really good. Thanks for being our super secret celebrity guest.
Well, I am honored to be your super secret guest.
Oh, I took the word celebrity out.
Yeah.
I've seen you on a cruise. You're kind of a celebrity. People are like, are you Carlo Broussard?
Definition of celebrity is sort of relative. That's one thing I think we could say that is relative.
What does Thomas Aquinas say about celebrity?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. You
have to be careful with that notoriety stuff, man.
Well, your job is to be helpful. And
I will do my best to do that today.
Your job is to speak pig Latin.
No, it is not.
And your job is to give us insights into the answers to the questions.
That I will try to do to my best ability.
So let us meet our two contestants, and then we'll go over the rules for the Catholic Answers game show. First contestant, who we will call contestant number one, Allison. Hello, Allison.
Howdy.
She's smiling, man, from ear to ear.
I can't
she's
get over
like
it.
Just
she's ready to go.
It.
Yeah. Are you good at early church stuff?
Moderately, maybe, hopefully.
Usually I say, who are you and what's interesting about you? But now I just said who you are. You're Allison. So I'll just say what's interesting about you. Which, do you find that question offensive? Because some of our super secret celebrity guests say, don't ask it that way. It seems mean. But
It's intimidating. I will say
it's
that.
It's intimidating? Okay.
Yeah, because it's like, why are you important?
That's good.
Why are you here?
Why should anyone care about you, Allison? Okay, fair enough. So why are you important?
So I'm here with this lovely boy here. We've known each other since we were 10 years old.
Wow, cool.
Yeah. I am a convert to the faith. I came in 2017 at the Easter Vigil.
Wow, man, you're like fresh, girl.
I am pretty.
Yeah, right.
I practiced with his family for about, what was it, like 4 or 5 years before making that decision to come in.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, welcome.
Well, thank you.
Welcome home.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
No, I'm a student at Cal State San Bernardino, and I want to be a Catholic school teacher.
Awesome.
Allison, thank you. You have a lot of things that are interesting about you.
Oh, thank you.
Did you ever go up the hill there to ski or anything above San Bernardino? Did you know that there's mountains right
there?
No,
actually, I go to the Palm Desert campus.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
All right, fair
enough.
Can't
get away from Joshua Tree.
And then our other guest, you will be called from here on out, contestant number two. Who are you and what's interesting about you?
Joseph. What's interesting about me, I'm in a very happy relationship with this beautiful girl right here. Woo-hoo. I dare say the most beautiful girl.
Man, they're in a relationship. We might break the relationship today.
We will ruin it. That's not really fair, though, because that means you guys are going home together with the prizes.
I mean, we're so,
all right. Okay, fair enough.
We'll have to share.
Is that the most? I imagine that Allison is probably the most interesting thing
about
you.
It's the most exciting part about me, I would say.
Okay, awesome, fair enough. Yeah. Anything else you want to share with us, though? Or
I'm a cradle Catholic. When I became on fire for the faith, I started listening to a lot of podcasts. This podcast included, which was one of the big ones that really got me on fire.
Awesome, man.
Other than that, I'm a creative person. I like to draw. And I work on making games as well.
Oh, you do? All right. Maybe you can make the version that we sell of the Catholic Answers game show.
That would be amazing.
That is an idea.
Are there any apologists that you particularly like here at Catholic Answers? Any apologists stand out?
Let's see. Let me look around. Carlo Broussard is amazing.
Carlo Broussard, yeah, okay,
also
love
Trent Horn and Jimmy
Akin. Yeah, amen to that.
All of them.
I agree
right.
with that 100%.
All right, I got to go over the rules now. Okay, these are the rules of the game show. There's contestant number one, that's Allison. Contestant number two is Joseph. And that will only be important in the case of a tie after the first two rounds. There are three rounds in the game. They are called round one, round two, and your final judgment. Okay? So whoever wins after rounds one and two, whoever has the most points after those two rounds, will face final judgment. So I hope you are prepared for your final judgment today. In each round, you will get you will each get three multiple choice questions. We'll start with you, Allison. We'll go to Joseph. Back. When those questions are done, we'll see who's the winner of that round, and then we'll do the other round. Across both rounds, you get two lifelines. Okay? The first lifeline is you can turn to Carlo and you could say, eliminate one wrong answer. So instead of having three possible answers to the question, you'll be faced with just two. All right? And Carlo's pretty good at that. So you can trust him to not eliminate the one that everybody knows is wrong, but he'll eliminate, well, at least he'll try to, if they're not all that close. Okay, and then the other lifeline is you can just ask Carlo, give me the answer. And Carlo will give you the correct answer.
Oh, so no pig Latin today?
I was not done, Carlo. I was not done. The catch
he said,
is...
two laugh. Oh, oh, okay.
Yes.
I got it.
The catch is that if you ask Carlo to give you the correct answer, he will give it to you, but he has to do so in pig Latin. Okay? And I will insist that if you get to the last question and you have not used that lifeline, you have to use it. Okay? Because we have to hear Carlo do pig Latin. If after two rounds we have a tie, that's what these two boxes are for. You, Allison, will pick A or B, and it will tell us who's going on and who is, I don't know, what's the word for it? The loser? We don't want to say loser, but who is the...
oh, come on, man. Don't give me that pop psychology stuff.
Everybody goes home.
Winner or a loser.
Everybody goes home with a trophy. Oh, that's the main thing. Everybody goes home with a trophy. Everybody ready to play?
Yes.
Amen. Did I do all the rules? Did I do it correctly?
I think
so. Oh, if you get a correct answer, you'll hear this sound. And if you get a wrong answer, you'll hear this sound. Okay. Allison, first question. Oh, please play along at home. Gather with grandma and grandpa, aunts and uncles, and maybe even the neighbors around your radio and prepare to play the Catholic Answers Game Show. Contestant number one, Allison. The early church... Oh, by the way, I did forget to mention this hour, but all the questions are basically early church questions because we have this... new, you know, the magazine is out this month. It's the theme of it is the early church was the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. We're having a conference this next month, which is the theme of which is the early church is the Catholic Church. So all of these are early church questions. Ready? Yeah. The early church accepted Jesus as Christ. What does the word Christ mean? A, living water. B, anointed one. C, Son of God. What does the word Christ mean? A, living water. B, anointed one. C, Son of God.
I'm going to go with B.
You got that correct. Congratulations.
Good job.
Jesus is living water and is quite literally the Son of God, but anointed one is what Messiah means. You want to say anything about that?
Yeah, the Catechism has a great little succinct explanation of this in paragraph 453. So our listeners out there, if they want to check it out, the Catechism talks about the title Christ, meaning anointed one. And it gives a couple of scriptural examples of the Holy Spirit anointing Jesus. And by virtue of his anointing of the Holy Spirit, we call him the anointed one.
Joseph, you ready for your first question?
I am most certainly.
All right, Joseph, contestant number two, here is your first question. Joseph, women in the early church, A, were not called to be martyrs because they stayed in the home. B, were called to be martyrs only if their husband accepted it. Or C, were made martyrs just as men were. Women in the early church were A, called to be martyrs, no, not called to be martyrs because they stayed in the home. B, were called to be martyrs only if their husband accepted it. Or C, were made martyrs just as men were.
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm going to say C.
You got it right, brother. Good
Congratulations,
job.
Yes. Women. You get to die for the faith as well.
Yeah, the two women that stand out prominently in the Roman
martyrology, yeah.
Right, Perpetua and Felicity, believed to have died around AD 203, so early 3rd century. Those are sort of the two women saints that stand out within
but we have
tradition.
Like when we say the litany of saints, like Agatha and who else is in there? Anybody in the booth remember Agatha? There's a couple others in there. But yes.
I don't know.
I know. Okay, it's Catholic Answers. And I just asked a question we don't know the answer to. All right. We're all tied up 1-1.
Move on.
Move on, Kellett. We better take a quick break. We'll be right back to continue the game show with Allison and Joseph right after this.
Hi, this is Trevor Williams from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, he taught us a great lesson. He taught us that he came for the sinner, not the virtuous. He came for you because you are imperfect, because sin comes easy to you, and sometimes you don't have the willpower to say no.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Joined us on the right Friday afternoon. It is the Catholic Answers Game Show. Our super secret celebrity guest is Carlo Broussard. Allison and Joseph are our contestants. They've known each other since they were 10 years old. And today will be the end of their relationship. Before we go back to the contest, I want to remind you, time is flying like crazy. It's right around the corner now. We're gonna have our big conference here. We're going to go to a little place I like to call Australia.
Yep.
And then November 2nd, a Spirit Catholic Radio in cooperation with Catholic Answers at the Embassy Suites La Vista Conference Center in Omaha is having a Spirit Catholic Radio Conference, and we're delighted to get to be part of it. Tim's going to be there. Trent's going to be there. We're going to present Catholic Answers Live at the conference. Matt Frad's going to be there. Dr. Ray Guarendi's going to be there, but don't let that keep you away. Space is limited. It will fill up quickly. Spirit Catholic Radio. If you mention Spirit Catholic Radio when you call the Courtyard Marriott, which is there at the La Vista Conference Center in Omaha, you will get the discounted room rate. That number, 402-339-4900. 402-339-4900. For all the information and everything you need to register for the giant Spirit Catholic Radio Catholic Answers Conference November 2nd in Omaha, go to SpiritCatholicRadio.com. Question number two for you, contestant number one.
Oh, goodness.
Who among the following probably knew the apostles Peter and Paul? A, Pope St. Clement I. B, Saints Felicity and Perpetua. C, Pope St. Gregory I. Once again, who among, this is a tough one, I think. Mm-hmm. If you're playing along at home, don't sweat. A lot of people are going to have struggle with this one. Who among the following probably knew the apostles Peter and Paul? A, Pope St. Clement I. B, Saints Felicity and Perpetua. And, or C, Pope St. Gregory I.
I'm going to need to use a lifeline.
Would you like your 50-50 lifeline, in which Carla will take one of the correct answers away? One of the incorrect answers away, leaving you with a 50-50 chance? Or would you like Carlo in Pig Latin simply to give you the correct answer?
I think I'm going to hold on to the Pig Latin.
You are a wise
woman. And
I'm
going to use right now the 50-50.
Okay. All right. So let's take away Pope St. Gregory.
Okay.
So that leaves you with two options, mm-hmm. Pope St. Clement or Saints Felicity and Perpetua.
And the question is, who mm-hmm. knew Saints Peter? Probably knew. Oh, no, so almost certainly knew Saints Peter and Paul.
Oh, no. I think, can you say the answers one more time?
Sure. You have two choices, Pope St. Clement I or Saints Felicity and Perpetua.
I'm going to say the Pope one.
Ooh, what's up?
Good job, Allison!
I'm going to say the Pope one. Do we count that? Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, Pope St. Clement. He was the third successor to St. Peter as mm-hmm. the Bishop of Rome. And we actually have a letter of his written to the church in Corinth, which dates probably to about AD 70. Some scholars put it AD 90, but there's good reason to think AD 70. So mm-hmm. he's like writing this letter while John the Apostle is alive mm-hmm. and probably knew Peter and Paul. In fact, many look to Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, where St. Paul refers to a Clement in his letter, and many see that Clement as being Clement, Bishop of Rome, third successor to St. Peter. So we got our fourth pope being mentioned in sacred scripture.
That's amazing.
Yeah, pretty cool. Huh?
Is there? There seems to be a tradition too, if I remember correctly. You can correct me about this. That he was ordained a priest by Peter himself. Do you happen to remember that anywhere in the?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
And even if there is a tradition, what's the reliability of that tradition? I don't know.
I said it. That's the reliability. let's go to contestant number two, Joseph. Your question number two: Which of the apostles had a wife? Which of the following three apostles had a wife? A. Timothy. B. Paul. C. Peter. Which of these apostles had a wife? A. Timothy. B. Paul. C. Peter.
I'm pretty sure the answer is C, Peter.
Good job, Joseph.
Nicely done.
Excellent. Right. Yeah, that's actually, we know this from Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, when Matthew tells us Jesus entered Peter's house, saw his mother-in-law lying sick with fever. Mm-hmm. So if he had a mother-in-law, that would imply that he was married. Now, the question is his wife still alive at the time? And when he's called by Christ to follow him, or perhaps was he a widower, you know? Mm-hmm. But that he had a mother-in-law tells us that he was married, at least at some time, right?
At some point, yeah. That's the only way you can get a mother-in-law.
Is it?
Yeah, I've looked it up. Okay. It's the only way you can get a mother-in-law. Although in the state of California, you can probably get a mother-in-law any way you want now. I don't know. All right, contestant number one, your last question of round one. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Allison, St. Augustine wrote The City of God and was a bishop in, see, these are all early church questions, and St. Augustine was a great early church father. So St. Augustine wrote The City of God and was a bishop in A, Asia Minor, B, Africa, C, Europe. St. Augustine wrote The City of God and was a bishop in Asia Minor, A, Africa, B, or Europe, C.
I'm going to go on a limb. I think it's Africa.
That limb is sturdy, sister.
Nice.
Good job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Excellent. Yeah, he was the Bishop of Hippo in North Africa.
Not the animal. The city. Interesting little detail there.
Yeah.
Yeah, in North Africa. It's kind of a sad story in a way. There's such a huge, healthy Christian community there until there were some invasions from Arabia around the 7th century. Mm-hmm. You may remember that story. That's all I'll say about it. contestant number two, your last question of round one. Are you ready, Joseph?
I am ready.
Joseph, contestant number two, the title Theotokos or Theotokos, which means something like God-bearer, was used A, by only one of the early church fathers, B, by none of the church fathers, it is a later development, or C, by many of the early church fathers. The title Theotokos, or God-bearer, which, by the way, is a title for Mary, in case you don't know that, was used A, by only one of the early church fathers, B, by none of the early church fathers, it was a later development, or C, by many of the early church fathers.
I'm going to ask for a lifeline and for Carla to eliminate one of the answers.
Okay.
Right. Eliminate one of the wrong answers, Carla.
All right. I'm going to eliminate A by only one of the early church fathers. Mm.
Okay. So Mary was called Theotokos then by many church fathers or by none?
I was really hoping for him to eliminate one of the other ones.
But one of them's the right answer.
Yeah. I want to say B. By none of them.
By none of the church fathers. Okay, I just want to make sure we had the correct. But in fact, many of the church fathers use the term.
Yeah. We actually, the theology of Mary bearing God is actually found as early as AD 180 in the writings of St. Irenaeus when he's talking about the angel bringing glad tidings that she was to bear God. But the actual term Theotokos is we find it as early as a 3rd century Catholic, in a 3rd century Catholic Coptic prayer. And we also find it in many of the 4th century fathers. So Athanasius of Alexandria, Gregory Nazianzus, John Chrysostom and Augustine all used the term Theotokos in reference to Mary as the God-bearer, the Mother of God. And of course, this was dogmatically defined at the Council of Ephesus in the 5th century in 431.
Okay, you feel all right?
I'm still hanging in there, yep.
Yeah. You're only down by one, and long, long way to go. So after one round, it is 2 to contestant number 2, Joseph, and 3 to contestant number 1, Allison.
Ooh, I sense a little rubbing in the face when they get home.
She's really delighted, like truly delighted to be ahead of you right now.
No.
Oh, he's such a nice guy,
great
isn't he?
Guy, right?
Did she, why? Who's driving back? So you need to keep your ride. I got it. All right, round 2. We've got time to get started on round 2. So let's start with you, Allison, your first question of round 2. Oh, we should review the lifelines. We're down to Pig Latin. Right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's got their Pig Latin lifeline left. That's the only lifeline left. Okay. By the way, I didn't say this before, but you cannot use your Pig Latin lifeline in Final Judgment. Mm-hmm. Final Judgment is just you and the truth, much like the actual Final Judgment. All right, contestant number 1, Allison, in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, Jesus told people to blank and believe in the Gospel. In the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, Jesus told people to blank and believe in the gospel. A, have faith. B, repent. Or C, be baptized.
B, repent.
Dang.
Good job,
Allison. You get to play the music on that.
No
Could you
way.
Let Nick play the music
or
next
should
time.
I? That, I'm sorry.
Now, repent. Where's that in
I
the Bible?
Give some
yeah. Yeah, Mark 1:15 is where our Lord says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So the preaching of the kingdom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to repent?
To turn your life around away from sin and toward the Lord.
Oh, okay.
And to express sorrow for that sin that you've committed and to have the firm purpose of amendment that you no longer commit the sin.
All right. I don't know if I'm doing this wrong, but I actually have to do that quite a bit. Is that? Are you supposed to just do it once? Oh, yeah, okay. All right. So I'm not the worst person here, maybe. All right. Contestant number 2, Joseph, we got time for your first question before we have to go to a break. First question of round 2. Joseph, Christian monasteries in the earliest church were A, most common far outside major cities. B, most common near major cities. C, not really a thing. Joseph, your question is, Christian monasteries in the earliest church were A, most common far outside cities. B, most common near major cities. Or C, not really a thing.
I'm thinking you go where the need is, so answer B. No?
Oh, okay. That's actually a hard question, man.
I know. I'm noticing I accidentally gave him a couple of killers.
Yeah, the right answer is actually C, not really a thing yet. Oh. We don't find the first Christian monastery was founded in Egypt in the 4th century. And then you have in Western Europe early monasteries being founded sort of the late 5th century. Mm. So you have monasticism being practiced on an individual level before the time of the 4th century in Egypt, but actual monasteries themselves, we don't find that until 4th century.
Yeah.
So that's actually a tough question because I could see how you could be thinking, well, yeah, I know these, you know, you had early hermits and stuff and going about exercise, practicing monasticism.
You're making me feel so bad about this.
Yeah, I'm just rubbing it in.
I feel like I should give him some other kind of question.
No, I should have thought about it more. That's on me.
Such a great guy.
He is a very...
Allison, you got a gem there.
I know. He's so awesome.
I don't know. I'm not so sure how you're doing, Joseph, but Allison got a gem.
I know.
It takes a gem to find a gem.
Oh, my gosh! This guy is killing me! Wow, that's impressive. All right. We're in the midst of round 2, then, of our Catholic Answers game show. Allison and Joseph are our guests. Our super secret celebrity guest is Carlo Broussard. And we still have our lifeline left. Each of you still has one lifeline left. The theme, because the latest copy of the magazine, the Catholic Answers magazine, by the way, one of the finest Catholic magazines in the world. Are you aware of this?
I heard the universe.
You did hear that. All right, because I'm
about the multiverse. Multiverse?
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
I don't believe in the multiverse.
Well, that's okay.
Am I wrong about that? I think multiverse is science fiction. I don't think there's any evidence that there's a multiverse. I think it's nonsense. I think
it's just for Dr. Stephen Barr, he would say it's possible.
Oh yeah, I'm sure a lot of stuff is possible. Unicorns are possible. I just don't believe in the
they
multiverse.
They live in the sea.
Yeah.
Wait, what lives in the sea? The multiverse or unicorns?
The unicorn.
I never heard of that one. Where did that come from?
This is the most educational program we have ever done. Yeah, but I don't know. Just try to convince me of this. Somebody, go ahead, online. Try to convince me of the multiverse. I don't believe it exists. About the unicorns in the sea?
There's a song about it.
We're about almost up to our break time. Again.
Is that why you're wasting time right now?
Why do you can we get a debt? Please, could we get someone else to be our super secret celebrity guest next time? Catholic Answers Conference in less than a month is on the Early Church. You go to CatholicAnswersConference.com to find out about it. The latest magazine, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, is the theme of it. You go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com to get it. And right now, we'll take a quick break, but we'll be right back to finish off the game show.
Catch Catholic Answers live anytime at Catholic.com.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament, from the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important. This pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old children or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture decays, we have to know how to talk to our children about these issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging onto the shop at Catholic.com.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. Do you have questions about the Catholic faith? Listen for the best of Called to Communion on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern and live on Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Called to Communion on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to the Catholic Answers game show. Our contestants are contestant number one, Allison, contestant number two, Joseph, both from the hot part of Southern California, inland, away from the ocean, Palm Desert and Riverside. Glad to have you both here. They've known each other since they're 10 years old. We're doing our very best to ruin their relationship. What am I on? Question number two?
Mm-hmm.
For contestant one.
I am?
Mm-hmm. Round two, question two, contestant one.
Okay. Contestant one, question number two. The Apostolic Fathers were. You with me?
I am with you.
The Apostolic Fathers were A, apostles. It's the same thing. B, the Jewish prophets and teachers who preceded the apostolic age. C, teachers and bishops of the first and early second centuries, some of whom knew the apostles personally. Contestant number one, Allison, the Apostolic Fathers were A, the apostles. It's the same thing. B, the Jewish prophets and teachers who preceded the apostolic age, or C, church teachers and bishops of the first and early second centuries, some of whom knew the apostles personally.
I'm going to have to use my last lifeline, I think. I'm real sorry, Carlo. Please forgive me.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Carlo, you have been asked to give the correct answer to Allison. The only caveat is you have to do it in Pig Latin.
I actually might make it more confusing than clarifying.
Yeah, you're not going to know any more than you know now once he gives the answer. Go ahead, Carlo. Right. Give her the correct answer in Pig Latin.
Herch say... Icherste nda e ishops bit a foe het a erst fe nda e erle e ekond se.
Ooh, that sounded kind of cool, right?
Yeah, it sounds like
you sound like you're about to break out into one of those click languages.
Foe
right
om he.
You know the ones I'm talking about?
Nuke het a. Poslese, whatever, ersonale pe.
Did that help you at all, Allison?
A little bit. Would you mind reading for me the question?
Yes, the
English.
In English, yes. The apostolic fathers were A, the apostles. It's the same thing. B, the Jewish prophets and teachers who preceded the apostolic age. Or C, church teachers and bishops of the first and early second centuries, some of whom knew the apostles personally.
I'm going to have to go with C.
Woo! You are correct. You are tearing it up.
You know, actually, that,
well done, Carlo.
That helped you out tremendously, the fact that the answer was super long, because other than that, I don't know if you would have got it. If they
couldn't tell
been
the difference between them. So that guy we mentioned before, Clement.
That's right.
He's the first of the apostolic fathers.
Yeah, because he was so early, A.D. 70, you know? Mm. And even like the Didache, it's not a particular father who wrote it, but it's sort of the catechism of the early Christian church, a teaching manual.
Very early.
That dates to right around AD 70 as well. So that's like considered a source among the apostolic fathers, you know. So very early documents that we have, fascinating stuff.
Oh, I got another early church women question for you. No, that's coming up next. Sorry. The contestant number two, your question two for round two is... and that's you, Joseph, by the way, in case you didn't know who I was talking to. Peter was the leader of the church in which city? A, Capua. B, Alexandria. C, Antioch. Peter was the leader of the church in which city? A, Capua. B, Alexandria. C, Antioch.
I'm going to say C, Antioch.
Good job, Joseph. You got that one, brother. Yeah, we know that from Eusebius, an early church historian. He lists Peter as the first bishop of Antioch.
Extra credit if you can say that, if you can name the second bishop of Antioch.
I'm not going to get that extra credit.
All right, that's fine.
Evodius.
Nobody
right?
cares about Evodius anymore. It's like the guy lives his life as a saint, dies a martyr, and who cares about Evodius?
Another bishop. Interesting thing about Antioch is that's where we read about in the New Testament where they were first called Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, contestant number one, Allison, your last question of round two. In the early decades of the church, women, A, were not considered equal to men. B, made up the bulk of the converts to the faith. Or C, had to remarry a Christian if they were widowed. In the early decades of the church, women, A, were not considered equal to men. B, made up the bulk of the converts to the faith. Or C, had to remarry a Christian if they were widowed.
You know what? B feels right to me.
Good job, Allison. Yeah, fantastic. What's interesting about that, Cy, is that's a testimony to the Christian revolution of viewing women as equal in dignity to men, having different roles within the family, within the church, but yet, in as much as they are human, being equal to men and having that equal dignity. And because of the Christian view of women, it follows that women would want to join such a religion, right?
Yeah.
Because of the great dignity that they were shown. And we, in Paul's letters, we have a plethora of women listed, you know, so we have Prisca, Junia, Julia, Nerissa's sister mentioned in Romans 16, right? Also in Romans 16, you have Mary and Persis. In Philippians 4, you have Euodia and I don't know how to pronounce this, Sintich, actually called fellow workers in the gospel, right? Yeah. And then you have Lydia of Thyatira and Nympha of Laodicea and Phoebe.
Yeah.
I think y'all were talking about her in the last,
in the last hour. Yeah.
So we have all these women listed in the early church as being converts to Christianity. So it's a great thing to think about.
I have to tell you, there's a great article in this latest issue of Catholic Answers magazine. I had forgotten this, but it's a great article on the revolution in the way women were viewed in the Roman world because of Christianity. Really, really good. Now, I can't remember who wrote it.
I was about to ask.
But it was,
who's the other?
But what I really, what was striking is this idea that the early church was teaching this idea that men and women are equal,
right,
and that men cannot simply put women off with divorce because it was common. And the teaching against divorce is really a protection of women.
Women, yeah.
But also there's this other thing that women can live a thing called consecrated virginity in the early church, which was absolutely outrageous to the Romans. Mm. As a matter of fact, the Romans hated it. It really infuriated Romans that women would be allowed to live with other women in this state of consecrated virginity or with other widows. Widows would be able to live with other women. And I'll tell you what's in there. I just got to tell you this one other thing, because this article fascinated me. It was Mike Aquilina that wrote it.
Oh, cool.
In the early church, girl babies were often killed. I mean, in the Roman Empire, girl babies were often killed. So there were more men than women. So the idea that women would withdraw from relations with men to live as consecrated virgins or as widows really was a bad, like the Romans did not understand that and were pretty much horrified.
Yes, St. Paul actually gives Timothy instructions, I believe, and I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 4, if my memory serves me correct. In his letter to Timothy, he gives him instructions on how to deal with or govern these vows that widows were taking and virgins and whatnot. So, yeah, you have this idea of consecrated virginity.
All right. Look that up. Mike Aquilina's article, Women in the Early Church, A Radical Equality. It's in the latest issue of Catholic Answers magazine. Joseph, your final question of round 2. You ready?
I'm ready.
The Catholic Church accepts. Oh, you have to use your lifeline now. I just want to remind you, you have to. You cannot answer this without using the lifeline.
Okay.
That's a rule. The Catholic Church accepts A, some of the inspired Hebrew scriptures, B, all of the inspired Hebrew scriptures, C, those parts of the inspired Hebrew scriptures that do not conflict with the gospel. I know, Carlo, I forgot, okay? I know what you're going to say to me. I forgot, though. The question is, the Catholic Church accepts A, some of the inspired Hebrew scriptures, B, all of the inspired Hebrew scriptures, or C, those parts of the inspired Hebrew scriptures that do not conflict with the gospel.
I'm going to ask for my last lifeline.
Oh, really? Carlo has to say the correct answer in Pig Latin?
Here we go. Lae foe hete inspired. Bredie, ebruhe, scripturse.
Did that help you at all?
not even a little.
So did that sound actually, it sounded to me most like B, all of the inspired Hebrew scriptures, but you decide for yourself if it sounded like B, all of the inspired Hebrew scriptures. It's entirely up to you to pick, but I felt it was like B.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. It definitely sounded
like that's an excellent decision, yes.
Man, you're so generous.
It's a little bit of a tricky question.
Yeah.
And so Carlo actually told me that maybe I should take it out, and I said, yeah, you're right, I'll take it out, and then I didn't, because I forgot to.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's true, tricky. Because there were multiple canonical traditions within first century Judaism concerning what constituted the Hebrew scriptures. So one who knows that could simply ask the question, well, which tradition of Hebrew scriptures did the Catholic Church accept, right? Yeah. So the Catholic Church went with the tradition that includes the 73 books of the Old Testament. You know, so our Protestant friends, they have a canonical tradition of 66 books of the Hebrew scriptures. But this is claimed that that was the Jewish tradition. But there were more than one canonical traditions among Jews in the first century. So,
but to be precise, all of the books that the Catholic Church says are inspired Hebrew scriptures are in fact inspired Hebrew scriptures, because it's the Catholic Church that decides that. That's
correct.
Jesus gave that authority to the church.
That is right.
So technically, everything that the Catholic Church says is inspired is inspired. Everything it says is not inspired is not inspired. So therefore, Catholic Church accepts all of the inspired Hebrew scriptures.
There you go, brother. Mm-hmm. You
it's
got it.
A little bit tautological there, but okay. So we have to. Is the supercomputer currently adding up the scores? All right, the supercomputer is adding up the scores, and it turns out that Allison has 100% correct.
Congratulations.
That's amazing. So now you must face your final judgment. We have a great prize for you, Joseph, for your excellent participation, and also for your years of preparing Allison to be a Catholic and to get a perfect
Amen,
score.
Right?
Wonderful book from Carla Broussard, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. I would give you this copy, but it's mine, so you have to get Marie will take care of you on the
hopefully
way.
Hopefully I can get that signed.
Yeah, indeed.
Amen.
Yeah, that would be great.
Sure, I'd be happy to sign it. take a quick break. Right back to finish with final judgment for Allison right after this.
Your number one source for Catholic apologetics and evangelization, Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Catholic Answers Live is on EWTN television.
Catholic Answers Live is one of the longest running and most listened to Catholic radio programs of all time, and now it's also a TV show. I think you'll really get a different take from the TV show. The Bible quote or catechism paragraph the speaker is explaining can be put up on the screen, along with helpful graphics and other related material that really bring the topic to life.
Catholic Answers Live, TV, Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern on EWTN television.
Well, we all have to face final judgment at some point. Allison faces it right now. Wrap up the game show. It's time for final judgment. 7 true or false questions. You get no help from anyone unless your guardian angel feels like helping you. Do you feel like you can stand up to that?
I certainly hope I'm up to it.
I hope you are, too. It's not easy to face final judgment. Oh, I can get rid of these boxes right now. All right, true or false, Allison? Oh, the way it works is before each question, I will hold up a book or a DVD or CD set or something like that that's from Catholic Answers here. And if you get the question right, you get that book, okay? If, however, you get all 7 correct, which would make you perfect, then you will get each of the prizes that you won, and also you will get a spending spree of $50 at shop.catholic.com. Is that correct, Nick? Am I saying that right? Spending spree of 50. I used to say gift certificate, but we don't have gift certificates, so it's just called a spending spree. Well, we do. Oh, now we have gift certificates. Oh, all right. Well, but I get informed about very limited number of things here. So you're playing for Trent Horn's book, Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love. If you get the question right, you don't have to take the book, but we're going to try to give it to you. True or false? The period of the Church Fathers spans roughly the time from Clement of Rome in the 1st century to John of Damascus in the 8th century.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to read it? I think I'll read it again because for the people at home. People
Go
are
for
playing
it.
At
yes,
home.
Yes, yes,
yes. The period of the church fathers spans from roughly the time of Clement of Rome in the first century to John of Damascus in the 8th century.
I think false.
Oh!
If you're going to not get a book, this is the perfect
book
really, not
to get. I really, really actually wanted that book.
All right, we'll play for it again.
It's actually... That's a tricky question.
Wait, why did you say false then? Let me just ask you this. Why did you say false?
Because to me, in the back of my brain, I think that there were church fathers who were later. Like it felt like I think that there were church fathers who wrote and
you not
spoke
only
later.
Got this wrong, you got it really wrong. Because if you had said earlier, there's an argument for that, but there's no argument than John of Damascus.
It all depends. Are you talking about those, you know, the time frame considered among those in the West or among those in the East? Because as Jimmy Akin points out in his book,
The Fathers Know Best.
Thank you. The Fathers Know Best. In the West, the age of the church fathers ends right around the 7th century with St. Isidore of Seville. But in the East, the age of the fathers extends to St. John of Damascus, who died around 749, mid-8th century.
Yeah, so if you said earlier, maybe we would have gone with it, but later, no. Yeah. Okay, so you're going to play for the same book again, all right?
Thank you.
True or false? We have several other gospels written before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. True or false? We have several other gospels written before the canonical gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
The answer I think I have is false, that there were no others written before those.
Good. Yes. Good job, Allison.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you.
There were other gospels written. But after, they came much later, they started popping up around mid-2nd century called the Gnostic Gospels, right? The Apocryphal Gospels. So like Infancy Gospel of James or the Proto-Evangelium James. Mm-hmm. Infancy Gospel of Thomas and others. So
Tim Staples' book,
Woohoo!
Behold Your Mother.
Another gem.
I'm rolling along because we're getting close to the end. True or false?
I'll stop talking.
If you're playing on... No, it's okay. I'll let you know if we get in an emergency. True or false? Christians were persecuted without interruption by Roman authorities until the time of Constantine. True or false? Christians were persecuted without interruption by Roman authorities until the time of Constantine.
If I'm not mistaken, there was a period where they weren't persecuted.
So you're saying false then?
Yes.
Good job, Allison.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, there were periods where things were very calm.
Yeah, you have. There seems to be some tolerance during the reign of Emperor Trajan, a little breathing room under Emperor Hadrian, and even before Constantine, you have the Edict of Certica that was issued in 311 by the Roman Emperor Galerius, officially ending the Diocletian persecution.
That which was the worst of the persecutions.
East,
True or false, then, this is your question number four. You're playing for Gary Machuda's book, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger. And Gary is great. You're going to love this book. True or false? The ancient Roman governor Pliny described Christianity as spreading like a plague. Number four, true or false? The ancient Roman governor Pliny described Christianity as spreading like a plague.
I'm not familiar with this. I will admit that. So I'm going to say it sounds like it would be true.
Good job. Good guess.
It sounds like you won the book, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger,
from
Gary
Machuda. I'm so excited to read all of these awesome books.
Pliny, why did he say that?
Yeah, he wrote it in a letter to Emperor Trajan, and he actually called Christianity a superstition. The superstition is spreading like a plague.
True or false, this is number five. Oh, you're playing for Jimmy Akin's A Daily Defense, 365 days plus one to becoming a better apologist. True or false, the earliest Christians became known for rescuing abandoned children and caring for the sick. True or false, the early Christians became known for rescuing abandoned children and caring for the sick.
I know that one is true. That's one of my favorite stories.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
You are the proud owner of Jimmy Akin's book, A Daily Defense.
Good job, Allison.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, you're just going to go right to me? Okay, yeah, you don't even want to talk about that one. Fine, that's fine.
Maybe she could tell us because she said that's her favorite story.
All right, you're playing for a DVD now. Tim Staples, Defending Your Faith, How to Counter Standard Objections to Catholicism. You ready to play for Tim's DVD?
Yes, sir.
True or false, the Apostle Paul never treated women as co-workers. True or false, the Apostle Paul never treated women as co-workers.
I would say false.
Good job.
It's kind of a double negative there, huh?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Romans 16:3. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. And even in Romans 16:1, you have phobe referred to as a deaconess in the church. Now, the Greek word there is just simply the feminine form of the word for servant. Mm-hmm. So you have a female servant in the church. Not that she was ordained and functioning in an official capacity as an ordained member of the clergy, but she was definitely serving the early Christian church with Paul, in collaboration with Paul.
I think they mentioned that last hour, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, right. That did get
one of the questions. Yeah.
I wish you wouldn't pay attention. That's probably why you're winning. It's because you paid attention.
Oh, man.
The final prize that you're playing for is the greatest book ever written.
That's brand spanking new,
it's
man.
It's the greatest book ever written by a human being, not counting the Bible, of course,
of course,
is a library of books. But this book is called The Bible is a Catholic Book by our own Jimmy Akin.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about it on air.
Hot off the press.
I'm excited.
Like, literally.
Is it even like...
It's out.
It's out.
It's
okay.
out. Yeah, you can get it. You can order it. You can get it in your hot
little
hand. So
it's not pre-order anymore. It's regular order.
Carrie came around today and gave a copy of it to every important person in the building.
That's not including me because I didn't get my copy, brother.
No, I use the qualifier.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said it's not including me. I'm not important, man.
No, they knew I was doing the show today. So they gave me it. It actually feels kind of hot.
Oh,
hot,
man.
Off the presses. Yeah.
I can't wait to have mine in my hand in a few weeks there.
But no, you can get one sooner. You know what? You can ask Allison for this copy if
she
wins.
No, I'm talking about my book.
I'll let you borrow. Your book. Right. But you can't play for Carlo's book because it's not here yet.
Not here yet.
The Bible is a Catholic Book, the brand new, very readable, very helpful book from Jimmy Akin. If you want to know how the Bible got put together, basically, I don't think you're going to find a better readable book to tell you how the Bible got put together and ended up the way it is. The Bible is a Catholic Book from Jimmy Akin. You are playing for it now. True or false? Felicity and Perpetua, a slave and a noblewoman, were martyred together, showing the diversity of the early church. I know there's a lot of stuff, a lot of moving parts there. So true or false? Felicity and Perpetua, a slave and a noblewoman, were martyred together, showing the diversity of the early church.
The first thing I want to jump to is true. So I'm going to go with true.
Good jump, sister.
You are a killer at this.
Yeah,
there you go.
Man. Good job.
You're one of the first people in the world to get a copy of Jimmy's The Bible is a Catholic Book.
How cool is that?
So why did
so
you want
excited.
To jump to true on that one?
It's the answer that jumped out at me.
Because you've been listening to the show today? Because we've talked about Perpetua and
Felicity. We did touch on it, but only they were just mentioned as an answer and not any other facts about them. Yeah.
The idea of being martyred together.
Mm-hmm.
But that they are mentioned together, like in, you know, we always refer to Felicity and Perpetua.
Yeah, right.
Mentioned together because of their martyrdom together.
March 7 is their traditional feast day. One of them was a mother. I cannot remember which one was a mother, but it's a heartbreaking story. But did not deny the faith. And, you know, this is one of the things I think a lot of people don't know about or don't quite maybe recollect about these Christian martyrdoms is you were not convicted and killed for being a Christian unless you either admitted it or refused to do what would have shown that you were not a Christian. So you could get out of it very easily. The Romans were not looking to kill millions of people. They really didn't want to. Diocletian certainly wanted to just wipe the church out.
Mm-hmm.
But you could get out of it. And Felicity and Perpetua did not get out of it. They didn't deny Christ. They didn't deny that they themselves were Christians. They gave their witness and died as a consequence. Perpetua's husband was not a Christian, probably didn't understand, And I cannot remember which one. I'm looking it up right now. One of them had a little baby. But these are extraordinary, extraordinary people. Yeah, even there were times even when the Romans killed Felicity had a baby. Was she pregnant or did she have a baby? Which one? She was pregnant at the time. Yeah,
martyred. Yeah, I think Perpetua was a mother of an infant.
Oh, okay. Goodness. So they were both mothers.
And Felicity was pregnant at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, what? That surprised me. I didn't realize we were that close to the end.
Oh.
Allison, congratulations on your tremendous, tremendous victories.
Congratulations.
Joseph, thank you, thank you.
Really, thanks for bringing her into the church. Good work, buddy.
Oh. Amen, brother.
Good work. And thanks for coming in, both of you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Safe travels back home.
Carla Broussard has been our super secret celebrity
guest. Hey, hey, hey.
Can you hold up his book for the camera? His book is Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, the Church, and the Church. Carla will be one of the featured speakers at our upcoming conference. Go to CatholicAnswersConference.com to find out more. And he's got a brand new book coming out called
Meeting the Protestant Challenge.
Meeting the Protestant Challenge.
You can pre-order it at shop.catholic.com.
Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. You know it's true. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.